Well, this is our first recording in a while. Peek behind the curtain. We took a week off.
We did take a week off.
And this is actually being recorded before this week's episodes. So this is a future episode that is being recorded. This is our first episode since we took a week off. Exciting stuff.
You just lost everybody. Everybody just was
the
like,
listeners are... They tuned in to listen to hear about the Kingsman, but they're going to hear about all of the behind-the-scenes scheduling.
They're like, oh, no, not this again.
Welcome to After the Movies. I'm your host, Aaron Mook, with my co-host, James Lombardo. How are we doing?
Hello, everyone. How are you? I'm doing well. Doing well. Excited, because we have a good friend, and a good friend of the show, and our collaborator. Sounds like we're at a secret organization. Our collaborator. FilmCore, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? Appreciate you having me on the show again. It's exciting. It's been a while.
We'd have you on the show every time if we could.
And yeah. I'd be there every time if I could.
Well, the podcast just changed, so now we have three hosts. No, it's great to have you back. We had you on the Big Lebowski episode, which was a lot of fun. And the reason that I asked if you wanted to come on to this episode was because this movie seemed like maybe it would be something that would be up your alley in terms of like visual effects. There's not as much like superhero stuff going on, but there's some cool stuff happening in this movie. So I guess my first question for you, and we are in fact talking about The King's Man today, is have you seen the Kingsman films, and are you a fan of them?
I have seen both of the other ones. First one, really good. The story, how it started, awesome. Second one, not so much. It wasn't high on the list. This third one, if I could just say one word real quick, I think Jimmy might get the reference. Reminiscence. Because he was on our podcast for that. But yeah, I appreciate you having me on this this movie's review.
I don't know if it's reminiscence level, but I mean, it's definitely, it's close, but it's not reminiscence level.
I have not seen Reminiscence, but I have listened to your episode on Reminiscence. And so I will say, well, I guess first let me ask other James, our James. What do you think? Have you seen the other two Kingsman films?
I've only seen the first one. I've only seen the first one. I haven't seen the second one. And now I've seen the first one. The new first one.
The new first one.
Yeah, I've seen one and not two.
This is point five.
Yeah, this is point five.
Kingsman point five.
I absolutely love the first one. I got to be fully transparent. The first one was amazing. I had a lot of fun watching it. Now, this one... not as enjoyable as, you know, the first one. I don't know. It was just maybe because it was my, you know, the first time I was exposed to it. And I just thought the world was so cool and the Kingsmen and everything surrounding it. And I mean, we have to talk about the fight scenes. I mean, these were,
well, yeah, for sure. And that's
some of the best that funny. Some of the best
in the first,
in the first one.
My biggest.
Okay.
First
yeah.
one.
Yeah. My, gonna be my
like,
biggest
where?
Issue.
The first with one had really film. Good fight scenes.
Yeah. Is that why I paused when the Rasputin fight scene happened to see how far we were into the movie. And we were 55 minutes in.
Yep.
And that's like the first big action piece. I mean, there's like other moments, but that's like the first real big action piece that feels like a Kingsman movie. And we were halfway into the movie. And that's kind of my, this one did win me over. I didn't love it. I liked it more towards the end because it definitely picks up speed. But that's my biggest gripe is that I think the first like, half of this movie is kind of boring, honestly, you know?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. The first half, I mean, maybe even the first hour, it's just, you know, trying to get him to start up fighting again. You know, it's just like, you know, it's like we've heard, if we heard it once, we heard it 1,000 times in the first hour. He is a pacifist, and this movie sure showed us that in the first hour.
There's also a part where Rasputin says, well, Conrad says to him, he's trying to seduce Rasputin, and he says, sorry if I've offended you, and Rasputin is like, only if you consider boring offensive. And I was like, yeah, movie's definitely been kind of offensive so far.
I don't think we saw the same movie, though.
Okay.
Where was the Kingsman fighting at that 55-minute mark with Rasputin? Because that was not Kingsman fighting. That was, to me, was
no, it wasn't Kingsman fighting.
I've ever, like, I was, it was so bad.
It was comical. I don't know. I laughed so hard during that fight scene with Rasputin. I mean, the fighting was cool, but it was more of a comedy at that point. It was just the dialogue in between the fights, what was happening. When he stands up, he's like, you fixed my leg! You fixed my leg! They're running around.
I think we have to, like, define what we look like, why we liked. You guys talked about why you liked the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, I also like the second movie, not as much. But it is, like, kind of what I look for in these movies is just, like, this really over-the-top. Like, the second movie has, like, Elton John in it, like, playing himself, which is, like, kind of a highlight because it's just very silly and over-the-top and stuff. While it didn't deliver on, like, the first movie, I had an okay time with it, and that is kind of what's missing from this one. You get, like, small bursts of it, and, you know, what I enjoyed about the Rasputin scene enough is kind of, like, the him being a dancer, and he's doing all the crazy, like, ballet stuff while they're doing the fight scene and stuff like that. But it misses this. I mean, the other movies are so over the top, like, so blatantly borderline James Bond parodies, you know, and this is plays it more like a historical drama that just has a little, like, oh, and by the way, Rasputin's crazy, you know.
See, mine was for that fight scene, it wasn't just the choreography of the fighting and everything that was lame, it was the camera movements. Like, it was so bad, just the way that they were moving along with it. It's like, instead of getting in, like, the fight scene in the first one in the church, one of the best fight scenes cinematically, like, just the camera movement and stuff. This one, it's like, to capture it, they just went wide. They were like, let's just jump back and see the whole thing. They got in a couple times when there was a stab or something, but it's like, let's just jump back and film the whole thing with him doing his dance moves. And that just, I mean, it didn't take me along with the fight, so it took me out of the fight along with the lameness of the fight. And so that's what disconnected me in that whole scene. It was I was like, no, don't let this whole movie be like this. Because, like you, I was like, oh man, I got a lot of movie left. It's gonna get better.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're cutting to the chase here, but it doesn't get better.
We can cut to the chase for sure. I think it doesn't deliver on, like, that Kingsman promise of, like, just something so absurd. You know, like, you're seeing people, like, in the first couple movies, you're seeing them, like use new technologies and stuff like that. And this one, we get him being like, this is a parachute. Yeah. It's like, come on.
But
like,
that is one of the coolest scenes in this whole entire film, though. Yeah. The plane scene is one of the, I would say that's my favorite scene from everything, execution to acting, to the whole thing, like, just watching him just get out of the plane and then get stuck in the wing of the plane and spit it out, that he just takes his knife, rips the canvas off of it, and then flies down, just barely making it to that little cabin.
Very, like, cinematic. I did enjoy that scene. I mean, the cool thing about the, like, the cinematic CG of it, it didn't look fake.
No.
Like, it looked like it was in that time period. It could have, that plane didn't look like, there was this part where it was flying, it looked unrealistic. It didn't look real with the sky and everything. But, like, the whole fighting with the parachute and the crash, like, that looked really well done.
Mm-hmm.
As did a lot of the visuals in the film. I did like a lot of them. There was only one really that took me out of the whole film, and that was towards the end. I don't know how far you guys are going with spoilers and stuff.
Oh, we're just running the spoilers right in the ground anymore, I think.
Yeah, we...
Oh, okay, so my favorite part of the movie, the most awesome, like, I was like, oh, with the cinematic and, like, just the mind-blowing, was when his son got shot.
Yeah, that was not something I was expecting. I felt so many emotions when that happened, because Okay, so well, let's kind of take it back a little bit. That scene when they're in the trenches and they're fighting everyone, and it's like a steampunk World War One type battle. The guy sticks that gas mask on. He's got the spike for his hand. That was pretty cool. That fight scene was cool. But man, when he's finally back across enemy lines, he's back home. He thinks he's safe. He's done his job. He's reached his character's goal of doing something right for his country. And then just to get executed on the spot, I was blown away by that and was not expecting it. 100% not expecting that.
It's a great setup for it too, because like the one thing that they, I mean, as challenging as it was for me to get through the first like 45 minutes of this before things started happening, at the very least, like what they do right is like you are very clear on what his character wants. And he even says in the movie, he's like, I thought I knew what I wanted whenever he's like faced with war. And so you do I did actually, like, I was kind of surprised at how much I felt for his character when that happened, and how much I felt for the father figure, like, when that happened. It actually, like, I mean, the emotional impact was actually there for me. I thought it worked pretty well.
Yeah.
And I also think, like, the movie kind of ratchets up, like, the first action sequence you get is this Rasputin scene, and it's like, and then the next one you get is that midsection where he's in the trenches and there's that, like, battle. And I thought that scene was pretty good. And then I do think at the end of the movie is probably the best part of the movie. I think the kind of the final, like, 30 minutes of this is probably the best part of the movie.
When Paulie's using the Kraber to shoot down everybody at the bottom of the... James is an Apex fan. He's going to appreciate that reference. Yeah, that gun was crazy.
Oh, yeah. She was great. She did really well in the movie. I have to disagree with you on that last scene.
Oh, really? You didn't like... Okay, yeah, no, please, take us through it, James.
Okay, so, it was cool. It was, like, her scene, like, her shooting, doing that, him coming up, fighting, for them to get up there was pretty cool. But as soon as they were up there and they finished the guys off on the outside and then they went in, the final scene with him, they're just across the table, talking way too much, shooting bullets that should have went through the material that they were standing behind of. Like, it was underwhelming. And then, of course, the whole end where they're fighting on top. And I even said, because my wife's aunt and mother are here, and I was like, as they were fighting towards, I'm like, which one's going to fall off? I mean, it was a predictable moment pushing towards where it was at. It's like, seriously, what? Called before it even finished.
It was extremely predictable because I even called it, but it has one of my, and this is interesting because you're like, oh, I didn't like that final scene. I probably got the most enjoyment out of this final scene because when he first lands and he's nice to the ram there, the goat or whatever, and he's super nice to it and makes it friend. Yeah. And it's like, I really like this guy. And we see earlier how like mistreated all of these animals are. It was so fitting at the end with that same ram that was he befriended earlier is the one that stabbed, rolled the other guy off of the, what's his name, Milton?
Yeah, that was cool.
I love that scene. It was one of the most memorable scenes. I was like, I love this, man. This is great.
I think it was like less of a, for me, I think it was less of like the conclusion you're getting at is the surprising thing. It's more so just like how you get there. And I enjoyed the incorporation of the ram for sure. I did like this idea of these like super villains, essentially, like all kind of going, having their own thing, going out and trying to,
it was like the Kingsman
kind of getting their turn at being a baddie, you know? But I will say, I think it was like not executed super thoroughly because some of them are memorable, I think, and some of them aren't.
I would say the majority of them are not memorable, and I would have appreciated more kind of diving into that because really that was the villain Kingsman, you know, that was, they all had the rings with the animals that played, had some significance. And we never, for as long as the movie was, we could have explored these villains a little bit more. We could have got some motive behind it. I mean, the only reason why one sticking out in my head besides the main female villain there is the guy who killed the Archduke. And that's only memorable because of that scene. I don't really remember him.
Yeah, and then Rasputin, just because he gets more screen time than
Barry Zemo, come on. I mean, he should have had way more screen time.
Yeah, I agree. But it was important for them to spend 45 minutes at the beginning making sure that we knew that he was a pacifist. So I don't think to be fair to Jimmy, I just don't think we could have fit any more background in on the villains.
We needed to know he was a pacifist and his son was going to, I mean, that build up there of his son wanting to fight so bad, that was needed to get that emotion when he dies. But, you know, we had to know he was a pacifist for 1 hour and 15. So the last half hour where he wasn't a pacifist just made the movie come together cohesively.
Every 10 minutes, I was like, wait, is he a pacifist? And then the movie told me, and I was like, oh, thank God.
Where did his son learn to fight? Because when he was fighting Rasputin, he couldn't throw a punch, couldn't move. But in the trench scene, like, he moved like he was, like, freaking an X-Men or something. It was crazy.
Which, this is the thing, is, like, that is what I want from a Kingsman movie. Is, like, I don't care if I don't have an explanation for how you learned how to be like a superhero fighter, but you have to play by your movie's own rules. And it's like, if this was just how the movie was and everyone was just crazy good at stylized fighting, awesome. Give me more of that. I don't care. Like, I don't need an explanation if that's just what the movie is. But I also thought the same thing when I was like, wait a minute, now he just had normal army training, but he's like this amazing hand-to-hand combat fighter, you know?
Yeah. I thought the exact same thing. And that's what I thought, like, the Kingsman was. Like, I thought his father was going to teach him how to fight like that. Right. Kind of like the first Kingsman movie where Colin Firth took on Tegan Egerton or something.
I think I would have liked the movie better if that is what happened, to be honest with you. I think I would have enjoyed it more. And I know that's giving a lot of fan service to the first one, but I definitely would have enjoyed it more if it was them building the Kingsman up and his son, you know, becoming one of them, you know, whether it's Galahad or whoever. But
I think there's, there are parts of this movie that just feel kind of lazy in terms of the scope of what Kingsman is, because I also do really like this idea of like a World War One era Kingsman thing. Like, there's a lot of like room to explore that, and it just kind of feels like a fail to deliver on that promise. There are parts of the movie that are good. I think the performances are mostly very good, especially the main cast, and I do really like that everyone has their own thing. So I like that she is a sharpshooter. I like that Shallow, I think is his name, is the like a knife expert, and he has some cool moments as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more so like the writing, the pacing, the editing. Those are kind of where the movie seems to get in its own way, I think.
I liked how when he was like, and this is our quartermaster Merlin, and he comes out with a shaved head. That was such a fan service moment from the first movie. I cracked up so much.
So with that, that's what like I was wondering. Did they take on the new Kingsman from this being a prequel to the Kingsman? Do they take on the names like they keep the same names going on with new people? Because what's his name? Strong. What the heck's his name in the first one? His last name Strong.
You mean Lancelot?
No, he was Merlin.
Oh yeah,
Stanley Tucci. Is
no,
who?
No. I'm drawing a blank on his name. It's
sounds like a job for Wikipedia.
Well, they so when one of them dies, they vote in and they get a new one, and then they take over that Kingsman
that
name. Yeah. So if
that's what I was wondering,
because
Merlin was totally different.
Yeah.
Strong. That's what it was.
Yeah. So when one of them dies, they all vote, have a meeting, and then they choose somebody to replace, you know, whether it was Galahad, Lancelot, Merlin, whoever passes away, they just go into that role and they get the new name. But there's only ever, you know, those names, they don't keep going. So
I think the scenes in the trench of the fighting, the running through the trench when he's got the guy in his back, or just when he was running when they first saw him with the explosions and all that, I think that was the most engaged interaction that I got from this whole movie. It was just it looked very well done.
I'm fine with movies copying other movies because you have to, And as long as you do it, if it fits and you're not just doing it to copy it, but that was a very 1917 moment.
That's why I liked it.
It was awesome.
Because that was an amazing movie.
Mm-hmm. It was well done seeing them run through those trenches. It, you know, very reminiscent of 1917, which was fitting because, you know, this was also a World War One era movie. So I loved it.
And I feel like the, when they first showed the trenches and all the soldiers were in the trench and they all jumped up and started running and then they all just like got laid out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wasn't back then. I'm not a war expert, but I'm pretty sure that's not what they did. Like, if you knew that the enemy was straight across in an open field, you're not just going to jump up a half a mile away and just start running where they could just blow you down like that. I thought that was, like, really ridiculous.
Funny enough, James, there is one person in this podcast right now that did study World War One for a whole year in college. That's Aaron.
Craig.
That's Craig.
It's a recording bot.
No, that whole entire war, this isn't a history pod. Guess, but that whole entire war was a mess because it was the first time anyone was experiencing a war like that. Nobody really knew exactly what they were doing. So there was a lot of moments of just, all right, we're dead. So.
But that was, I think that was the most cinematic scene because, like you said, it reminded you of 1917. The very last moment of the movie was the one CG effect that took me out of the whole movie, is when he was falling down the cliff, and just the size they made him in reference to the size of that mountain was just not even close to accurate of what his body would look like on the camera depth that they were trying to mimic.
Yeah,
it was like this little guy and this huge mountain, and it just looks so fake. It was so bad.
Yeah, I could see that. Now, I will say though, in order for this movie to be a success for me, there has to be another one after it. I have to see these characters as the Kingsmen in order for this movie to be successful. If they don't do that, I feel like this movie wasn't successful. In my opinion, anyways.
Yeah, it's like, what was the point of doing it if you didn't have something planned to see them as? Because then that's a big jump from them becoming Kingsmen and then right into the new Kingsmen, which was the first Kingsmen movie. And then you lost the whole story.
Hey, you're talking, 100 years in between these films?
Yeah.
Almost.
Did you guys see the mid-credit scene?
Mm-mm.
So, in my opinion, first of all, this movie is the production of this is insane because it does anybody want to take a guess at how many release dates this has? If you don't already know,
probably five, six,
six. It got pushed
nine.
Back. God dang,
nine release dates. Finally, starting the original one was it was actually November 2019.
I could see that. Well, November 2019. Well, okay, so even though I did not watch this movie in the theaters, this is a theater movie, though. This is
for sure.
So I could see them not wanting to put this film out because they would have lost their ass on this film if they didn't already.
The first two delays were pre-COVID, which is kind of interesting. And then it's very unlucky that the pandemic hit. And then
this is a failure. Oh, no.
Then you're just pushing it seven. And then it didn't do great. It made $125 million off a $100 million budget. However, I think that they are going to get lucky. I shouldn't say that. I think that they have more of a chance than other movies would because they are filming. They're supposedly, it hasn't gotten canned yet, they're filming a sequel to the current Kingsman timeline. The ones with Taron Egerton, back to back with this. It's supposed to start this September, and that will be called Blue Blood. So if that movie does well, if that doesn't get canned and it performs well, then they may actually be able to pursue more movies within the universe. I think if they weren't doing it back to back and didn't have that scheduled, I don't think that they would get another movie out of this.
So is this other movie a third one off of?
Yes.
So it's the third installment?
Yep. But as you were saying about the about wanting kind of to see if this movie works by getting another one in the prequel series, the mid-credit scene is they talk about in the movie they have Lennon, and he says something about like the left hand is strong, and you know, now we need to the right hand to be as strong. They bring in a guy. They're talking about the current flock, and they're talking to Lennon, and they're like, "We found somebody as a counterpart." And the guy comes in, and he doesn't have the toothbrush mustache yet, but they're like, he says, "What is your name?" And the guy says, "Adolf Hitler." Which I think, like, I know that we kind of do this mid-credit, post-credit thing now, and especially with like cinematic universe kind of stuff, but I think that would have been like a better ending to the movie, because the final shot I thought was like kind of weak when it was just turned into a photograph of them. I was like, all right, well, that's it. And like, I think it would have been great to have incorporated that scene before the credits.
I get a lot of hate. I get a lot of hate for this when I say this, but no movie needs a post credit. Like, I just get so mad when every movie is like, oh, there's a post credit. Then when you leave a movie theater, there's 100 people just waiting. And it's like, why do you think there's going to be a post credit for this film?
Yeah, you go see like, you go see like Licorice. I went to go see Licorice Pizza by Paul Thomas Anderson. And there's like people hanging out after the movie. Like there's going to be some kind of like,
when we went and saw the new Saw movie Spiral, there was people waiting for, it's just like, I get it that
it makes sense though, because there are movies that are not superhero movies that are doing this now. And it's kind of like almost bothersome, because I'm like, okay, like Marvel has this thing. They do the post-credit scene. They're known to do that. It's a fun thing for people to go to the movie and then they stick around and see it. If that's their thing, just keep doing it. But it's like,
it's
like
an excuse to make a bad ending. It's an excuse to make a bad ending, because like you said, that would have been a better ending, but they are so confident. Well, they don't know if there's going to be a sequel. So instead they go, okay, well, here's our ending to this one. And they're like, oh, maybe you'll get it. Oh, look at here.
See, I'm 50-50 on that. I agree with you a little bit. Certain movies shouldn't do it. Like this one, I didn't even know it had a post credit or anything. It shouldn't have done it, because it could have been a better ending. Marvel movies do it to give you a look at what's
coming. I'm okay with Marvel movies
excited.
Because
Uncharted did it. We just watched Uncharted. We did Uncharted.
Okay,
on our
podcast last
week. That
needs one.
It had two.
Okay.
It had a mid and an after credit one. So it's like, what was the point?
Nope.
Yes. So I agree with you on the non-Marvel movies. They should not do it. There's no point in doing it.
The only way that I think it's acceptable is that if you're they do that because it's a Marvel universe, and putting that credit scene at the end of the movie that you're watching wouldn't make sense for that movie or that hero. So I'm okay of you showing more parts of the universe after the film, or something that maybe happened on the same timeline that's happening of that one, but if you haven't created this universe and you're just making prequels, sequels, whatever, I just don't feel like it needs it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, spoiler, like we're covering, I think next week, actually, with the week that this episode's coming out, it'll be the week following. We will be talking about the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie on Netflix. And that had a mid-credit scene. And for me being like the horror guy, what I'll say is like, should you have the confidence that another one of these are going to get made? Absolutely, because they're going to make Halloween movies until forever. But at the same time,
we're going to make a Halloween movie, dude.
They are constantly rebooted. It's constantly new directors, new filmmakers. Oh, this time we got Pee Wee Herman to come in and direct Halloween. He's going to give us his dark comedy take on Michael Myers. And it's like, you know, we don't need everything doesn't need to tease what the next thing is going to be, because half the time the next thing is going to be completely unrelated to the thing you just did.
I don't know. I'm just excited for Filmcore and Lomo's collab of Texas Nightmare on Friday the 13th following Halloween. So
let's do it. I will write that movie today. Like, I can absolutely can do that. I actually do want to see the Pee Wee Herman Halloween movie. That sounds
I don't.
Interesting to me.
It's gonna be good in Adam Sandler's Halloween movie.
Huey, Halloween is upon us.
Did you not like Hubie Halloween, dude?
I loved it. Okay. Adam Sandler's my favorite actor of all time.
I was like, we're gonna have some problems if you didn't like Hubie Halloween. That movie made me feel so good. I don't even know why.
We all love Hubie Halloween, and now we will have to have you back to talk Hubie Halloween for our Halloween special this year. We'll make that happen.
Let's do it.
So yeah, I don't know. I kind of as just like a final thoughts thing, I guess. I didn't hate this, although I thought I did. For the first half of it, I was like, if this movie doesn't get started soon, like, nothing is gonna save this. I had fun with the second half. I didn't have as much fun as I wanted to. So I probably wouldn't like recommend this outright. If you were like a huge Kingsman fan, or you're like a completist or something, check it out. But if you're just like a casual action movie fan, if you like John Wick movies and you're like, this is going to have some like over the top action stuff, I don't think it's going to scratch that itch for you.
This is not how you should get exposed to this world. No, I mean, if you watch this one first, you're not going to want to watch the other two. And granted, I've only watched the first one, but I would say watch that one first. If you haven't seen any of these, watch that one first, then probably the second one, and then go back. Watch this one.
You know what's weird is that it's almost like overcorrection. The first one is like this sweet spot, and the second one is like almost too far slapsticky comedy goofy stuff. And it's almost like this movie is just like, all right, we're gonna wind it back so much that we're gonna make a super dry movie. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah, I definitely. But
what do you think, James?
I definitely can't.
Well, I think it. No, I'm just kidding.
I can't say don't watch. Like, I don't ever tell anybody to not watch something because everybody needs to have their own opinions on something. But I strongly would not recommend this movie. It was to the point where I was almost about ready to call you guys and be like, you know what? I didn't get a chance to watch the movie halfway through. I was going to turn it off and be like, you know what, guys? I just didn't get a chance to watch the movie this week. It was just so dry and so slow for me. It didn't have really anything. I'll be honest. If it wasn't for being on the episode with you guys to help review this, I would have never watched this movie.
You wouldn't have even given it a shot.
Okay. I would have given it a shot because I was going to watch it.
Right.
Because it was a Kingsman movie and the trailer looked exciting. So I was going to give it a shot. I'm gonna correct myself. I would have never finished this movie if it wasn't for reviewing it on the podcast today.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I always finish a movie, so I definitely would have still watched it. I'm like a glutton for punishment after a while. I'm just like, yeah, you know what? At least I get the bitch about it afterwards.
I'll go back and finish a movie. There's movies that I didn't. I walked out of Spider-Man 3 in the theater and did not watch it I didn't finish it for like 6 months later after it came out on DVD.
Isn't that Aaron's favorite movie?
It's not, but I do.
His favorite Spider-Man. It definitely is.
I do love Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2. I think they're good movies. I don't know enough about current Marvel stuff to even compare. Like, I know I enjoyed Homecoming. I enjoyed Far From Home, I think maybe a little bit less, and I have yet to see No Way Home, which I am excited for. But I wouldn't even compare the two. I just think that I do appreciate them. I like Sam Raimi, and I think that as early superhero movies, they're a lot of fun to watch. And the villains are good. I genuinely like Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin, and I like Alfred Molina as Doc Ock.
We've reached a point in our episode for our wonderful guest here to plug himself. Plug Wayne.
Jesus Christ, James. What kind of podcast is this? What the fuck, bud?
You can go to my OnlyFans at Filmcore Digital.
Whoops.
Yeah, as you guys will be seeing a lot of Filmcore Digital with Lomo coming up in the next few months. You can check out my channel on YouTube.
Probably see it tomorrow when this comes out. This will be the next thing.
Tomorrow already. Let's go.
Yeah, it's already happened. We're in the future, James.
Yeah. So yeah, Filmcore Digital on all platforms. The TikTok we're starting to build up over there, getting more followers, making some weird. It's so It's so weird over there, like, because I don't know what to do. Do I do stuff of me? Do I do stuff of Filmcore Digital? Because it's Filmcore Digital channel. So I've been doing a little bit of both. I hope I'm not confusing anybody. I'm just...
You've had like a happy accident over on TikTok, I have to say. Like, you stumbled down and it worked out for you.
Yeah. It's crazy. Well, like, so it took me about a year to get the subscribers we have on YouTube. I have 400 less on TikTok, and it's only been like 6 months. So, I was hesitant to ever even do it, but it is apparently a good platform to start building on.
Isn't that crazy? You know, if only you had somebody to owe that to you about telling you.
I wish somebody would have told me to just.
Yeah, I wish somebody would have told you to do TikToks. Man, that would have been crazy if somebody
gave
you
that. Get on that social network.
What's that? Jimmy patting himself on the back again? Oh,
who would have guessed it? It wouldn't be a podcast without me taking credit for something.
Tune out for the next 20 minutes.
I can't wait until we meet up in the real world.
Yeah, we have. You know what? That's something that's crazy is, you know, you have become such a huge part of Lomo, and we've become a part of the, you know, like Filmcore and Lomo have come together, and me and you have become good friends.
Definitely.
But over this course of a year, we have not met in person. I don't even know. I've never met Aaron in person either, which is crazy.
That's I know.
Yeah,
I've been working on.
That's made editing difficult for both of you.
Yeah, I've been doing all the editing of. I got to take all the clips that Aaron shoots in his hometown and all the clips of Jimmy in his town.
Yeah, it's been rough. Together. It's been rough, but we've been getting it done.
Yeah, we will. We will get together. We will have to shoot some stuff together, and we'll also have to just go see a movie together.
Yeah, for sure.
Hit up a movie theater and see something in theaters, and we're together.
Speaking of movies, do you guys have a 4DX up there?
We
do you know what 4DX is? I didn't know until last week, so.
You know what? I'm thinking Cinemark has the D-Box, which is not the same thing.
So 4DX, I'm going to be going next week to try it out, it's where the seats move with the action, and It's got the like when they hit water or something, it mists on you. It's got fans. It's got like 45 cents.
That's great in the time of COVID.
you don't know if it's the
same. So we need more mist and fans in a movie theater. That's great.
But yeah, it looks so interesting. And to see like a really awesome action movie, like with the car scenes and your seats just going with it. I feel like that's going to be, and I think the Batman movie next week is going to, because it's in 4DX. And it's only $1 more than IMAX, and I would not recommend IMAX to anyone. That was the biggest waste of money. I did it one time to go see Carnage, Venom, the Let There Be Carnage or whatever. Waste of money because
I saw Avatar in IMAX.
Did you watch it in IMAX 3D or just IMAX?
IMAX 3D.
Yeah, see, so the 3D, maybe it added something, but the screen didn't look any bigger in the theater. It didn't look any different than us sitting right there in front of a normal screen. So
you're just overcompensating, aren't you, bud? You're like, this screen's not even close to being bigger than the other screen. Look, they're the same size, right? They're definitely the same size.
Well, I just looked up 4DX near me, and it looks like the only thing they're showing is a movie about waiting at the DMV. I don't know if I should spring for it or not.
I think you should,
dude. That might be a little much.
That's what you want, is that DMV mist.
Depends on what area you live in. The DMV could be very active where those seats are going to be moving.
What are you seeing?
What's that?
What are you seeing in 4DX?
I think we're going to go see the Batman to try it out, and then we're going to go see Doctor Strange for the official. But I want to see if it's actually worth paying it for the Doctor Strange.
I'm so excited for that movie. I can't even tell you guys how excited I am.
Did you hear about Tom Holland? Tom Holland's he's quitting acting for a while.
No.
Yeah, he just announced that he's taking a break after this Apple TV show he's doing.
Yeah, good.
He hasn't had
a
break in 6 years, apparently. Since the first Civil War movie.
Neither have I, but good for him.
Yeah, right?
Probably has enough money to never have to act again if he doesn't want to. But
I mean, that was a big franchise for him to stumble on.
Ladies and gentlemen, though, it's been a ton of fun talking with you, James, and thank you for coming on the podcast. But it's the time in our podcast where we try to get all our listeners money. And you can do that by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/lomomedia. We have two tiers, one for $5, one for $10 if you're feeling frisky. They all get this podcast a day earlier at the minimum, as well as behind-the-scenes content. And now that we have a green screen, let me tell you, the behind-the-scenes content is going to be great. It's going to be something. So if you'd like to join us and support our journey of becoming full-time content creators and full-time filmmakers as well, you can join us at patreon.com/lomomedia. Aaron?
Yeah, I am sorry. I was actually just pulling up to confirm next week's films of our schedule here.
Don't forget, we're three ahead right now. So.
Yes, exactly. That's why I wanted to confirm. I'm just going to say it because I'm 95% positive. Next week, we are going to be watching Dawn of the Dead, the original George Romero, Dawn of the Dead, as part of our Lomo's Most Wanted lineup, one of my top three favorite films of all time. And we are going to be following that up with the brand new Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is available on Netflix to watch. And let me tell you, this isn't a spoiler or anything. This is just with credits, the movie is like an hour, or without credits, rather. The movie is an hour and 12 minutes long.
Perfect.
So, which we love to see, because I just watched Casino last night. And let me tell you, folks, a great film. I don't want to give away too much, but a great film. But legitimately 3 hours, like actually hits the 3 hour mark. So it's nice to balance the scales a little bit. If you don't have the money to donate to our Patreon, there's a few ways you can help us out. If you enjoy an episode, you can share it. You can tell a friend about the show. The biggest way that you can help us out is by going on Apple Podcasts and leaving us a 5-star review. Let me keep an eye on that. And if you do leave us a review, I will read it on air. So that just helps people find the regardless of what you're able to do, we appreciate you listening. So, thanks for supporting us.
Hey, we'll see you next week.